What's good, everybody? This is Sim City representing Washington, D.C. to the fullest, rocking with the fam, the OGs, Hip Hop Digest Show. Keep it tuned in, tuned in, tuned in, tuned in, tuned in.
This music industry is a God blessing. You need to stop it. God don't like that we in this music business. God don't like that we talking about money, cars, and clothes, and hoes. So if you want to be in this music industry and you want to get money, understand what it comes with. That it's not from God, it's from the devil. Understand, I just want you to understand that, you know, because I don't want y'all to get lost in the sauce and complain what y'all going through and why y'all going through it. Period. It's not from God. Stop saying it's a God blessing. It's not from God. It's from the devil. He gives you what you want so you can destroy yourself. Destroy yourself. Destroy yourself. Destroy yourself. Destroy yourself.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, E. Greasio. What's up, brothers?
What's goody?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. Yes, sir. There was a hefty lather of a conversation before this. We definitely
they wasn't privy.
Wouldn't go down that road.
We're not doing that.
No, not here.
No COVID. No COVID.
They said no politics and no religion, huh?
And now no COVID.
No doubt, no doubt. So I take it everybody is good to go.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's what's up. So, I mean, you know, there was a lot of people, shout out to a couple of people on the text chain, said that they like the new recording night. So we coming in fresh.
With the fresh topics, because you can do the show one day, and the show gets put out the next day.
Hey, long as the cover is ready. Oh, was that a bus?
I thought that was old news. That was so last week, B.
We have to do it consistently before we get comfortable, bro.
Dang, he said he don't care about other niggas' responsibility. All right, that's what's good. So let's get into the show. You know what I mean? First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, and we're going to start out where we should start out, rest in everlasting heaven, Biz Markie.
Yes, sir.
And Biz Markie, government name, Marcel Theo Hall, originally born in Harlem, was raised in Long Island. I have to say, one of hip hop's finest, and we say that a lot. And I wouldn't be too forward to say I don't think I've ever heard anybody have a negative thing to say about Biz.
I've never in my life heard anything negative.
The amount of people who have come out and have personal stories, including myself, which wasn't even a big story. One Nadal, I believe T-Bear, a few others on the text chain. I apologize for missing folks.
Jay Allen,
yes. He came through with a crazy couple of stories, Biz Markie. But again, not that Biz Markie was standoffish, not that Biz Markie was some type of ass bucket or whatever. He was approachable human, always friendly. Again, I'll repeat my personal story at least 5-6 times up at Music Liberated at Baltimore. You know what I mean? Either he's in there politicking, come on, Bernie, politicking with the owner of Music Liberated or whatever. I got to the point where I just went up to Biz. I was like, what's up, Biz? He was like, yo, what's up? Gave me a pound. You know what I mean? Kept it moving, just very approachable. But one of hip hop's finest. And what makes it a big loss for me, one of hip hop's finest and historians, he was everywhere. Yeah. You know, the LL Cool J story about him being in the basement the day that LL wrote Rock the Bells. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, he is everywhere through history, you know. Yeah. Silent co-producer. As Big Daddy Kane would say, Biz coming through with mad records. Your Marley sample this, Marley sample that. Just incredible.
It's a great, great loss, yo.
No doubt, no doubt.
Sir, as you say, that is one of hip-hop's finest. And that doesn't mean, when you say hip-hop's finest, doesn't mean he's one of the best MCs.
No.
It just means hip-hop, which is all-encompassing. He was a DJ, beatboxer, MC. He was all of that.
Right. Again, one
all,
of the best.
All across the board.
One of the best record collectors, okay?
Yeah.
He's the only one in the world with the prototype 7-inch 1200 turntables. You know what I mean? That only took 45s, you know? The only one in the world with those, you know? Which is absolutely crazy. His record exploits and his digging, shout out to, again, Jay Allen, who tells those type of stories. But one of the things that I tell you about Biz and having skin in the game is his third album, I Need a Haircut, was released on August 27th, 1991, Cold Chillin' Warner Brother. Okay, it was produced by a Cool V. The album really wasn't even selling like that or whatever, but then that's when Biz got sued by Gilbert O'Sullivan. Mm-hmm.
To one of my favorite records by Gilbert and by Biz.
Yeah, Alone Again. Yeah, no doubt. That's a York Radio jump off. Yes. You know what I mean? So Alone Again, naturally, obviously Biz sampled that and it came in a landmark ruling, Grand Music Limited versus Warner Brothers Records, that literally altered the landscape of music. Because I gotta say, after Biz got jammed up, sampling just almost dried up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it changed folks, and then folks had to be on their business heavy, you know, right. Because before hip hop, you know, we just, you know,
either that or you had to be super creative.
Right. You know, hip hop, you know, we just did what the fuck we wanted to do.
Right.
Taking nigga shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So, and again, Biz, again, like you said, all encompassing. So Biz actually had real skin in the game. You know what I'm saying? This was one of those guys who, again, truly paved the way and took the lumps. You know what I'm saying? For the freedoms that we have, you know, in this era. As far as sampling,
I only had two brief encounters with the man, and that was the one time I remember when Tower Records was on Route 1.
Yes,
I was up there in the Tower Records, and I came out, and he was in there too. We were coming out at the same time. He had like fucking 20 CDs he had just bought, and I was like, "Damn!" And he actually, like you said, he was very personable, dapped up. How you doing? This, that, and the other. Went on my way. And then the time when Killer, we just came back from Philly with them fresh college jerseys.
Oh, yes, of course.
And then we went to that party just out of the blue.
And
he was DJing. We were standing right there with him. So
I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah, that was my brief experiences. But that doesn't mean that I didn't experience him fully with all of that great music that he has left us with.
No doubt. So, I don't know. I mean, for me, as a young guy, I remember when Make the Music With Your Mouth Biz came out. And it was fucking absolutely groundbreaking, yo. Cats put the other records away and Make the Music With Your Mouth Biz was absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
I think for us, I know me and Kurt G, I'm speaking for G. For us, at the height of our young DJ powers, what was that? Fuck 12-inch. I put a picture of it on the 12. And you know, damn, you get over 50, you forget.
Oh, that Prism record.
Yes.
I'm tripping right now. I'm the struggle plane. Hold on.
Shit. Yeah, you got us all thinking right now.
Because when you get over 50, it is gone, and my phone's in the other room. So
yeah, and on my phone, I'm watching the Greek Freak just jump in the middle of the backboard blocking somebody's shots.
He want it bad.
Man, he wants it bad, as I'm seeing. It's 71-68 at this time, gentlemen, just so you know.
So,
third quarter.
Indeed. So, all that being said, at the end of the show, I mean, are we going to do all Biz? I mean, how we doing this, B?
I already got a Biz tribute, and that's thank you, T-Bear. He had put a Biz tribute on the text chain.
Oh, that was great.
And that's the one that I'm going to be putting at the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
But that's like 12, 13 minutes, so I'm going to play a couple cuts, regular cuts, and then that's going to be the last cut. is going to be the Biz tribute.
Okay, it was Nobody Beats the Biz.
Right.
And we played that record
to death. That joint got work.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. So, but anyway, as we continue on with Biz, I want to talk about his records or whatever. And of course, since he has passed away, the death tax on Discogs has hit Biz. I have his first two albums on vinyl, but I have the second two albums on CD, including the I Need a Haircut and the record next after that, All Samples Cleared.
take that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So when he was hit with the death tax, you might want to wait, you know, 3 months
That's
or
terrible,
so.
Man, that is so terrible. But it's not terrible for those of us that have some of that, like the Diabolical and all that sitting right over. It's beautiful to have it, but yeah, if you're trying to get it now,
yeah,
you better hold fast, like Killer said.
Yeah, you might want to wait 2 or 3 months or whatever, the death tax. I mean, they got it right. The cat who was up there with the I Need a Haircut, Joan, you know, I can almost tell you that was probably less than $10 or whatever. I don't know what it was, upwards of $30 or whatever. He got the old rest in peace up there. I mean, it's just, it's so...
slimy.
Yes.
What would be great is if him or his family or whoever could get a piece of that, but no. Right. You're doing it. Y'all wrong for doing that, yo. Anytime somebody passed, you want to fucking put that death tax on there. Y'all wrong for that.
Indeed. Crazy. So, all right, as we move on, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, and I don't know if cats want to give a golf clap, but...
I got to hear it first.
Well, you got to hear it first, and this guy has been maligned on a lot of shows, in this show too. But anyway, Fat Joe has called Biz Markie's wife every week for the past year before Biz passed away. She tells us that Joe was willing to open his own wallet or whatever to Biz Markie's family, basically offering to pay for the funeral, you know, and such. She was like, no, we don't need the dough, but she appreciates the sentiment. And she said that she turned him down and said that other people were always calling. People like Kane was calling. And there were some other people that I forgot to get their names. But in any case, but Fat Joe, yeah, that to me is a golf clap because, again, yo, exactly.
No, that's a full applause right there.
Yeah,
because, no matter what I feel about him, I'm gonna go ahead and give it to him.
Oh yes, sir.
That.
Yes, sir. When you're doing stuff like that, you got to give it up.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you said, it wasn't no spur of the moment. Just now,
no, right?
Like I said, it's been over a year. Like he started getting sick, and then he started calling and was like, you know, if y'all need anything, let me know.
Right.
So yeah, you got to give it up.
Respect for that. On that.
Indeed. So no doubt. So all right, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is. We talked about this last week, but there is actually a part two off that T-Pain Look at Me situation. Dr. Dre is coming in, and I second the motion, says Dr. Dre.
If y'all can see the look on Eagle's face right now.
Dr. Dre wrote on Instagram, I'm laughing my ass off, but he's right. And I know I feel exactly what you're saying. T-Pain, who responded to critics to basically downplay his career, saying he's player hating now and shit, you know, fuck you, old man. Generally that type of shit. But it is not about T-Pain this week. It is about Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre.
Who can make a record at any time and can have it released at any time. But let me tell you something. You know what Dre knows? The same thing that we know. Man, Dre can release a new record or some of that fantastic shit he got in the vault somewhere. And the collective yawn will be big from the trap. Now, we may be like, damn, I can't believe you had that motherfucking King T sitting in the vault all that time, or I can't believe you had this unreleased Tupac shit in the vault, whatever. You know what I mean?
Where'd that exhibit shit come from?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? We could do that, but you know, so I don't get it. And so now let me ask you, how's Dre being, how's he motivated here? He's second to motion on that T-Pain shit, but he ain't fucking, he ain't putting no joints out. Or is it all about, if I put this shit out, it ain't going to sell and it's going to make me look bad?
I think it's a little bit of both myself. I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's him agreeing. I think it's him really wholeheartedly agreeing with what T-Pain said. Because even behind all the look at me and the jumping up and down and on a stepping on a soapbox and fucking making jokes and comedian shit he was doing, it was real shit. If you broke it all the way down and you took his face off of it and put somebody else's face on it, some unknown nigga, we would be sitting here agreeing with that nigga 1,000 if it wasn't T-Pain. It was just some nigga you ain't never heard of before. Step up and say that shit. We'd be like, damn, that nigga right.
I said right message, wrong messenger.
Right. And I agree with you on that. But I'm saying, as far as Dr. Dre, so he's agreeing with that, and he's looking at T-Pain as just a messenger. He's not looking at T-Pain as being T-Pain. He's looking at him as just being a messenger, and he's co-signing what that nigga saying, like, yeah, you're right. That's some bullshit. These niggas need to step it up and stop making the same shit over and over again. But then you're like, come on, Dre. You got the bucks. You got the money to greenlight any fucking thing you want. You could put out any record, any hot new young boy coming up out of L.A., you could put him out, bringing bars to the game and make this shit turn around. You got the kind of money to make shit happen. So to hear you co-sign a nigga, fuck the co-sign, nigga. Let's get down and make it happen.
How you going?
And go not ahead. To give T-Pain a pass at all, Kim, because I can add some more. You got a platform, brother. Play the fucking music that you think people should want to hear. What, are you scared that people are not going to listen to your shit no more? Your platform, they're going to tune out? Maybe you might gain some other people to tune in. You know what I'm saying? But these guys, like, yo, I said it already, man. I don't want to hear people who have the means to make the difference out here whining and complaining.
You know,
I don't want to hear it.
Well, but you know what, though? But again, these people are entertainers, and these people need the current, let's say, money-spending generation to at least still respect them. So there's a couple of people.
I'm sorry. Time out. How the fuck are you going to want the money from these people that you're talking about when you're putting down their fucking music?
Well,
it ain't going to happen. So fuck all that. Make another lane. Make another Jay-Z, nigga. Do what you got to do over here. Don't worry about that. Do we, at the Hip Hop Digest, we're broke as fuck, but do we worry about how many trap records there are? We laugh and joke, and we even like some of it, right, Kurt?
You're right. I'll take that shift.
Yuck.
Some of the trap music I like. I'm not giving a fuck about the lyrics or words, I'll say, words. But I definitely ain't going to sit here and worry about that when I know I can listen to all this other great music that's out here. If we were on a level where people really give a fuck what we talking about, we've been doing this shit since 2006, going against all that shit that's on the radio being streamed or whatever. Because Kurt G, if I did the fucking math, I can't even imagine in we'll see, 2015 years we've been doing this shit. How many goddamn, we on show 600 and something? All that music that you post at the end of the show is what those guys could be talking about.
What, now I was going to say that, as I used an example, where I was going to use an example, obviously we're talking about Dr. Dre. Let's talk about his last release, Compton, which he tried to fix up as some type of new age trap with real musical acumen. It largely didn't go over. And when they talk about Dr. Dre classic joints, none of that shit, with the exception of Animal, which is Anderson .Paak and Preem, is really worth anything on there. Nobody's really playing that shit. So Dre himself tried to sort of, let's see if I can come in here with the professional ethics and shit, but it didn't work. The young bulls ain't really into that shit. And you think Dr. Dre, like you said, now Dr. Dre himself is saying, damn, I gotta fuck with a nut nigga like Blueface in order to get props out here. You know what I mean? You know who's another example? I remember when Erykah Badu called like Usher's new shit techno cornball shit. They came, man. They put an avalanche on Erica with that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because you know what? Usher was like, fuck it, whatever the new trap record, I'm gonna just show up and sing over it. You know what I mean? Fuck quality. You know what I mean?
He's gonna check.
And so,
oh my God.
So it's these things, damn. That's foul. It's these things that Dre and others look at. So that's why he's doing this side chain shit. He ain't really. Yeah.
But see, what you're saying is Dre putting out projects. I'm saying fuck all that Dre putting out projects.
I know what you're saying.
I'm saying,
yes.
Nigga, you're going to co-sign what T-Pain said. Fuck that co-signing what T-Pain said. Put your money where your mouth is. Co-sign some young boys that's really spitting out west or anywhere on the fucking planet with the money you got that's really fucking spitting. Co-sign them niggas and put them on.
Right.
And let niggas hear them.
Well, no.
We ain't got to hear you, Dre. We ain't got to hear a beat from you. We ain't got to hear shit from you. Put the niggas on that's really spitting, the type of shit that you want to hear since you co-signing what T-Pain is saying.
Right.
And saying that you believe that niggas need to change.
Like, it's kind
of... Put these niggas
right,
on then.
Right. It's kind of funny to me, like you said, whether if it's California where he at locally or anywhere else. It's funny because, like I said, we sat here and we watched kind of the rise of Griselda and have their now being commercial acceptance. I mean, right now, Dr. Dre, I'm sure you'll never hear this podcast, but right now, Dr. Dre, you can get a plane and go to Delaware and have a whole posse of Delaware niggas who got their own sound, who do their own thing, and be the first to bring this new next shit.
Yep.
But I bet you won't do it.
Mm. So you can fly to D.C.
Yeah. You got a whole area, D.C., the state of Maryland, the state of Virginia, who got a whole bunch of fire MCs. Okay. But I bet he won't do it.
We got a whole lot of movement of the fingers on keyboards and in front of microphones that is going, nobody's receiving. Well, there's people that ride. Yeah, he's right. Yeah, this and that, but fuck that. Let's get some results.
Well, I'm going to get out of this topic, but we're going to talk about some riding from another level later. Let me move on to the next topic in the Hip Hop Digest. Tiller, I don't know how you pronounce that shit, is searching for a resident DJ for verses and other events. It comes with a $1 million salary.
And you know what you're playing all day.
They say in the copy here, the gig will be decided with none other than a versus battle where fans can come home and pick who they feel deserves to be Triller's resident DJ. Okay, DJs are encouraged to throw their 5-minute set up on the platform. Hashtag Triller DJ, starting today or whenever this was, last week, I guess. Triller will narrow the candidates down to, I guess, the final down around August 8th. And the finalists will take each other on in a versus battle on September the 10th, the weekend of the Triller versus music festival, whatever, whatever. You know this shit is some bullshit.
May I ask a question?
Sir. Please, sir.
Sir, did you say that they have to upload it with the hashtag
Triller? It says, yeah, using the hashtag Triller DJ, upload your 5-minute set.
Okay, so let me tell you why that's problematic.
Oh, okay, wow.
Because your boy, sitting right here, that's talking to you, every Sunday, I religiously post 05 mixes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
socials.
Yeah, you do. You do the Soretto Sunday. Yeah.
And I swear on goodness, I'll be doing some obscure shit.
Oh, and they get ganged down.
And I'm constantly having to say fair use and all that bullshit. So you think these people that are going to do these 5-minute mixes ain't going to have all that current trap and current shit on there? They're going to get snatched out of there. So that's not even... probably not even a good way to do this shit.
I don't think so. I think
the reason why they say put the hashtag on there is because Triller is going to go ahead and
gonna clear
them,
it.
Going to clear it for them. Going to be like, No.
Triller ain't clearing shit. Whoever owns the license to said music will be telling whatever fucking social media platform you use, hey, that's my shit. Get it off of there.
I can almost guarantee you, you're right, that's how that goes down, but I can almost guarantee you that basically it's going to be a lot of push button niggas.
Oh, they in bed, though.
Who are going to play already approved type of shit anyway. So it's not like, you know, they're going to pull out some shit from this underground cat. And then the underground cat is like, I ain't going to let Triller use my music to get over.
Triller sent a check to IG and the books and all that.
Let me tell you something. Triller and them, they paying the DJ a $1 million salary. So trust me, when they doing this endeavor and they whittle it down to the final contestants, the fix is already going to be in. Spotify is already going to be notified. Them niggas over there, Jay-Z and them, Tidal and them niggas going to be notified. Apple Music is already probably on the D-Lo on board. So be the politics
and
of this shit.
And all those other regular labels like Warner who be on my shit.
Well, B, they on your shit because you're a broke nigga. So.
But you go back to my shit. The mixes is on there though.
So yeah, I'm gonna tell you. So this is a key thing. So what we already know is that, again, people will be like, well, how do you know the guy or gal who gets the job isn't a deserving working DJ? I just know that the One to Dial story about Biz Markie basically grabbing a stool and sitting down and just slamming pop records is awesome, because that is all this DJ has to be. Now, it's going to be a young person. If it's a female, she's going to have all the assets, okay? If it's a dude, he's going to have all the assets. So don't even fucking front here, you know what I mean? It ain't going to be somebody of real DJ substance. That's not going to happen. It's going to be a personality. He's going to, and I bet the DJ already is going to have a high social media jump off. I bet. I'm just betting.
Well, you know that already. So whoever that person is probably already big.
On social media with a lot of followers or whoever. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
They may not be Testo because he don't need the money.
No.
See the size? You can't win.
Right. No. Any other paid DJs already. Right. And it's not going to be an old head DJ, you know, because, again, it's Triller. It's the corporate events. It's the, you know, cats is going to want to hear line dances and Bodak records.
But, B, my thing about this Triller shit and this Versus shit is, at some point in time, the other shoe's going to drop. At some point in time, they're going to say, you know what? We done ran the gamut on this R&B rap shit. It's time for us to flip the script and start doing country.
Well, we already
and pop niggas.
Right.
It's time to get this motherfucking New Kids on the Block versus whoever the fuck. It's time to start making some real bread out here.
Well, yeah, but we already knew that. We already knew the R&B and the rap situation and all this. We doing it for the culture shit. You know what I'm saying? The fact that Triller is in and they're throwing around $1 million salary to niggas. Of course, my nigga. Of course, my nigga. It's going to be the country titans and shit. You know what I mean? You know, like you said, Taylor Swift versus whoever. You know what I mean? That type of shit. So before we get out of this Versus shit, real quick, we're gonna talk about this Lox and the upcoming joint, the Lox and Jimmy and them niggas, Dipset. Yeah.
Dipset.
I find it unfortunate because the natural person for the Lox would have been State Property. It should have been Beanie Siegel, Freeway, and maybe somebody like Petey Crack, because that was the battle. Back then, that was the premier battle back then. Obviously, Beans and Freeway are not in any shape to do that. And Petey Crack is still at the top of his game. But still, you know what I'm saying? All that being said, if you're really talking about really verses and lyrics, which verses is never really about that shit. You know what I mean? Jimmy and them niggas may win because they know Jimmy from being on some Hip Hop Housewives shit. And Cam on this, you know what I'm saying, fucking his neighbor shit. They may win on that shit. It's ridiculous if you ask me. This is an easy Vic, easy victory, other than Cam and maybe Jewel's. Yeah, Jimmy ain't no motherfucking MC like that.
Ballin'.
Jimmy ain't no motherfucking MC like that. And where you got all three of the Lox members, the certified fucking MCs. I think it's unfortunate, you know, but I don't know.
It's not for the culture, B. It's not for the culture. It's for the commercial.
It's for the commercial, but don't sleep on the Lox, nigga.
Oh, no, no, no. No. That's not what I'm saying.
No, no one's sleeping on.
But they chose these groups to get eyes focused.
Let me ask you a question.
That's what it's all about anyway. I understand that, but I'm just saying don't act like the Lox is going to get knocked out here.
No.
I'm talking to him on that.
No, no, no. I didn't say that. I'm saying Jimmy, okay, think about this. You take the Lox, and then who you picking from Dipset? Again, Cam, Jimmy, and maybe Jewel's. What the fuck?
I mean, Jewel's a little bit. Cam just, to me, he's just a comedian. But the nigga's
funny.
But
he nice, though.
But he nice, though.
But that's what I'm saying. Lyrically, from Dipset, who's fucking with the Lox? Nobody. And from that camp.
Nobody's fucking. Jada Kiss by itself is killing all that.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. That's what I said. The natural, when you talk about hip hop, and you talk about versus the natural, it's impossible for state property, meaning Beanie Siegel, meaning Freeway, and maybe Petey Crack to bring in the third. That's the natural hookup. That's the natural person who should be doing verses.
That's the natural person that should be doing verses, but you got to think about the format of this shit. The format is to bring 20 of your best records. How many records does Petey Crack have?
Okay, all right, that's true. I'll give you that. Petey Crack doesn't have 20 records.
Right.
It would have been just largely Beans and Freeway.
Right.
It would have been largely just Beans and Freeway. But you know what? But because it's hip, that separates commercial niggas.
Exactly.
From hip-hop niggas.
Exactly.
Because we remember those niggas week in and week out. Hot 97 just dropping jumbos on niggas.
But they was also going at the Lox, too. Because the Lox and Beanie and them niggas, I remember that shit was crazy.
That's why I said the Lox and Beanie Siegel and State Property is that's the natural thing.
Right.
That's
I'm just saying that was crazy, too, besides going at Cam and them niggas. So that was also
Cam
crazy.
And them niggas weren't, they to me, that's not even a factor. Cam and them niggas is on this versus shit because they still maintain some monocomb of popularity and probably got a reasonable amount of hit records.
Oh, well, their social media game is way better than the Lox social media game.
So, that's all I'm saying. Yeah. I'm just
you
saying.
You better watch.
We're going to be on the show next week when this shit comes on.
Oh, okay.
I think it's next week. It's August something. But it's on a Tuesday. I know that.
Oh, yeah. We'll be busy.
And it says start. It's supposed to start at 9, which means them niggas ain't getting on stage till 11.
Yeah.
You know how they
well,
be
we
doing.
We might see it then.
The DJ is going to be out there playing a bunch of fucking records and doing all kinds of shit before they even get on.
All right, you know, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on Hip Hop Digest is Scarface and Willie D ended up on the Nori show. And it was one particular thing that they talked about that it was interesting to me. Scarface said that he had Nas change lyrics, okay, as they were recording The Fix, Scarface's album, one of all-time hip-hop best albums, of course.
That's definitely a classic.
No doubt. But Nas was saying some heavy, heavy bars going at Jay-Z, okay, and Scarface was like, nah, B, you gotta change that shit, yo, because he said that shit was just beyond flagrant.
Wow.
Okay. And I'm just thinking to myself, I still think to myself, you know what I'm saying, Jay-Z fans who are still sore about it, still sore about the whole Ether thing and how Jay got away with how flagrant. Again, we've said it on this show a million times, B.
Condoms on the baby.
How flagrant is
that? But it was
that?
On his own record, though, right? It wasn't on somebody else's joint.
No.
But I'm just saying that. But Jay was flagrant. That
yes,
was,
he was.
That was some ill-ass shit. I thought that nigga went too far my damn self when he said that shit. I said, come on, B. See, the baby ain't got shit to do with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, but
you
again.
You want to go at Nas. You want to go at his whole-ass so, baby mama.
Apparently.
But you want to talk about the baby, nigga?
Yeah, so apparently, and Jay, who also is on the fix as well as Nas, you know, I guess Nas felt like he was going to take the opportunity to really just have niggas just like, yo, on that new Scarface, Nas just goes absolutely in. Thought it was interesting again. Scarface, Willie D, again, witnessed the history themselves. You know, obviously great historians. I just found that kind of interesting. And just, in my opinion, beyond, Ether is Ether, but something tells me I don't know if Nas really got off the flagrancy that he could have.
No, he didn't. But as Evie was about to say, it was on his record. It was on Scarface's album, and he's like, "Yo, B, I'm not trying to go there. Me and Jay friends.
Right.
I'm not trying to have that shit. I'm trying to stay out of this shit. I don't need him thinking I'm on some old backdoor. Fuck that nigga. So let me keep it clean on my album, and we good. Because he had both of them niggas on the album.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Jay on there too. Mm-hmm. Which one of my favorite records right there? Guess who's back?
So, all right, that's what's good. Yeah, this ain't even really a topic and shit. You know, we did that 6 month joint and niggas is on the text chain crying.
Wow. Because we shouldn't have done it. Well, why did you put so and so on it?
Okay,
nigga,
so, 6 months. So niggas is up there crying. I just found that to be absolutely, it was an unofficial check-in. And I actually said that none of these records may end up on the final list anyway. I did say that. This is just sort of what we were kind of listening to at the moment.
Should have said that.
B. I said that.
B, this is, gets down to the... See, when you came with that shit, what got me is, nigga, how much you hate list.
Right.
And then to come with a list of 6 months in list of shit that we... listening to or shit that we like right now, put a list out. You know how niggas react to list, B. When you put out a list, niggas don't hear whatever kind of disclaimers you put on that bitch. Fuck the disclaimer, nigga. What did you say? What's your joint? I ain't hear that other shit you was talking about.
Right.
Anyway, so oh, man, stop all that crying, yo. Let me keep it moving. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is your boy Jay Prince says the feds are harassing him over crimes he didn't commit. Legendary music executive Jay Prince says spoke out against police harassing him on social media, saying that the feds are blaming him for actions of others. In a video he posted online, Prince shows text messages from alleged drug dealer that shows someone using his name. He says he has been continually falsely targeted and harassed by the DEA as well as the IRS. He said he had drugs planted on him on two different occasions by dirty cops, and he beat the cases in court. Is this a matter of the hip-hop cops coming at Jay Prince? And I want to preface this by saying one of the things about Jay Prince, the mystery about Jay Prince, is that he's in the game deep, and that if he makes a phone call, it's a phone call. Are we talking about social media representation here, or are we talking about Jay Prince sort of benefiting from being who he is in the reputation versus the reality? Kurt G, please, swerving, if you will.
I'm going to pull an OG move. I'm going to make an OG call and not comment on this topic.
Oh, damn, son. So who's Drake, you or him?
I'm him.
Oh, okay, so he's Drake.
Yeah, there's too much to unload right there, B.
It's not a bunch of...
We know the history.
No, B, I'm just saying it's not nothing to unload. Okay, Jay Prince is saying that he's getting harassed by the law enforcement agencies, and he may be getting harassed by law enforcement agencies, but we know that law enforcement agencies, and it doesn't even have to be young bulls who are riding through a town super flagrant with all kinds of expensive vehicles here who are getting harassed. Maybe there's a federal agent out there who's saying, you know, this Jay Prince guy, every time I look at these rap blogs, who's he making a phone call to? What do you mean he's a legend in the game? What game? And then apparently there's cats out there who's saying, yeah, my man Prince, you know what I'm saying, he's the plug or some other crazy shit. Ooh. And is Jay benefiting from that type of publicity?
I mean, Jay is definitely an OG.
Of course.
He is definitely a shot caller in Prince. Matter of fact, I mean, in Houston, he is a...
Of course.
A shot caller of the shot caller type of nigga. He's been doing it for a long time. And now what he's been doing, what he's a shot caller of...
Allegedly,
you could say whatever you could say he is, the plug, whatever. But he's a legend. And niggas respect him immensely. Not just in... Texas, but all across the states, he is very well respected.
So both things are true. Okay, it is quite possible, and I believe Jay Prince that he is being targeted by law enforcement, but he's partially being targeted by law enforcement because of the reputation that he enjoys and that he benefits from. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
No, you're right. You are 100% right. That's the good side of things when you get the legend that comes with it and all the praise that comes with it and niggas saying your name. And when they say your name, it's with reverence. Like, yeah, that nigga Prince, he bout it, as Master P would say. That's what niggas would think. Prince make that call, nigga, it's over. So... Yeah, he is benefiting from that. But then you say the downside of that is having law enforcement like saying, nigga, we trying to take you out.
Exactly. You know, that's all. B, I mean, there was no controversy about this. This wasn't an anti-Jay Prince thing. Both things are true. You know, young boys who ain't really did anything other than being very rich young boys who riding through their latest tour stop in Kansas City, who all getting yanked by 500 police cars, and they finding a small amount of marijuana in three of the cars, makes damn near national news. Now, is it because they're doing something wrong? No. It's just that some motherfucking jealous ass police is looking at a half dozen vehicles of very wealthy young boys and Lamborghinis and shit riding through my beat. And I'm going to pull them over.
And if I even think I smell weed, nigga, they're getting out the car and sitting on the sidewalk.
So.
Yeah, well, you don't got to carry guns. You can pay for security. Just saying.
Indeed. So, indeed. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, I wonder if Swervin will be afraid to tackle this. Speaking of OG
shit,
call.
Since you talking that shit already, let's go.
Well, no, I was just saying... You know, what was the topic earlier? It was a Dr. Dre, and we were talking about just co-signing social media shit. This is what I don't like about the bloated Canadian.
Uh-oh. Oh, you just said a word?
The bloated Canadian, also named as Drake, agrees with some nigga, and I don't know this young nigga, Rowdy Rebel, take on Pop Smoke song with Pusha T. So basically, to cut to the real chase, Pop Smoke has a posthumous album. Pusha T's on the album. Pop Smoke boys like, yo, we don't know if he would really work with Pusha like that. I don't know. Never mind, they got the same management. Okay, never mind that they got the same management. Now here come your boy to blow the Canadian. Yo, I like that shit. Yeah, I like that shit. Yo, nigga. Make a fucking record in this, okay? Oh, I forgot. An OG call was made telling you to stay on the goddamn porch and keep your mouth shut. See, this is shit I don't like.
Well, he obviously is not listening because he's saying something.
And then, but I'm just saying,
he can't be keeping his mouth shut if he actually said something.
But I'm saying he didn't actually say anything. But the social media to young boys is like poking the bear. You know, all Drake got to do is like somebody else's statement. Yeah, I like that shit. Yeah, like on social media, he's poking the fucking bear. Now, a cat like me, you know, get on out there. A bloated Canadian nigga. What, you think you like that nigga? Get out there.
I mean, let me understand. I mean, this is easy.
Okay.
Let me make sure I understand. Is Drake, from your understanding, saying that he likes it? Like, oh, this is what we doing? Or is he saying, oh, I like that record?
No, he's saying he liked the social media post questioning why Pusha T on the record.
Oh, come on, man. Yeah, you're right, B. I'm with you, B. Just make a fucking record, yo. Shut the fuck up, co-sign it.
Right.
Make a fucking record. Or if you're allowed to.
Yeah.
Make a fucking record or shut up.
Huh.
Or
my
just
man.
Put your like on there and everybody will see.
Well, he did, and that's the
thing.
You
know, in social media, it shows like a few, like, if 1,000 people like your shit, there'll be a name, Drake, and 999 people like this. So you'll see you on there.
Well,
so just shut up. Yo.
Drake is on there, and this Mr. Rebel gentleman who is apparently friends of a friend type shit. These niggas is in a social media orgy like, yo, nigga, Drake up on my comments. You know, we don't really, I don't know if we get down with Pusha on Pop Smoke shit. I'm just saying to myself, nigga, the fucking bloated Canadian, yo, you there you go, poking the bear, but then you don't want nobody to say nothing.
Well, he might not be able to still.
If it ain't about making no money, shut the fuck up.
All right. Okay, but he's allowed to poke the bear.
What did that Ice Cube record say at the beginning when it says the cop said something, oh, y'all shut the fuck up.
He said, ain't no talking when I'm talking, fellas, so shut the fuck up.
Boom, right there.
So, all right, no doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is your boy Joseph Buttons. He goes into a rant addressing his recent personal and professional issues that have been weighing on him.
Oh boy.
Your boy Joe Buttons basically was in retrospect saying, you know, the beginning of the downfall. I said, I lost millions of dollars. I lost a couple of friends, which may be heading to legal trouble. Roy and Mal, maybe they're going to file a lawsuit against Buttons, maybe a breach of contract or something like that. I don't know. But Buttons was a little retrospective, saying that he's going to continue to shine despite. Egri sent me some numbers, about 87K on the Buttons show, damn near $500,000 on the Roy and Mal show. Boy, that's got to hurt. Is this just basically a situation where Budden just did it to himself, G?
I'd say yeah, because we already see the type of person that Budden is and the type of attitude that he has, and his mentality is, and there's a little mental illness there to go with that, because the nigga does go in and out on some Kanye shit.
Yes, he
just
does.
go the fuck off. And then the next minute he's sorry about it, and he'll go the fuck off again. And niggas can't deal with that type of manic behavior, because it's like, nigga, either we cool or we not. I'm not gonna take this, you just going off on me, and then I'll be like, you come back and apologize later, shit. Nah, B, I remember you went off on me, son. You can't go off on me again. We through.
Yeah, I sent you the thing. I watched the video and I did a little research. I'm like, damn, yo, you wildin'. And it's coming. What do you call it? Chickens coming home to roost. Were you thinking it's all about you, and you find out it's not? I mean, what you gonna do? You gonna grovel? You gonna get? You gonna man up and be extra hard? Go extra hard. What you gonna do, yo? It's not looking good right now for Joe. And I felt kind of bad when I was watching the video, actually, because he go from. I'll name this podcast later, right? And you know, he was messing with the other dude first, right? That other guy, right? In the podcast, and then he started doing this with these other cats, and you know, he was being the man, like, this is my shit. And it wasn't your shit. It was all of y'all's shit. And, you know, it had his name on it. And I could see where that could have been problematic in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? It started as a problem in the beginning, where how it could become a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it's his name, which gives everybody the impression that it's his shit.
Right.
But as we're seeing, without his partners, that shit ain't happening. And now he's eating some humble pie.
Well, certainly, I'm going to echo what Kurji says, probably a touch of issues, manic, depressive things that's going on with him. Like you said, he goes from high to low, and he's kind of all over the place. You can kind of see that. Generally, did it to himself, because when it comes really down to the issue, and it really got right down to dollars and cents, you know. So, indeed. Shout out to Joe Budden. I mean, you know, you still in there. You still doing it. You know what I'm saying?
He's still got the checks.
Now,
the future checks might be looking a little different, but he's got those checks he's got now.
Again, if that's what it's about, hey.
You still got it.
Obviously, that's what it's about. That's why the shit broke up, remember? The nigga didn't want to show the books. fuck that shit.
Yeah, crazy.
Indeed.
And actually, from what I saw in the video, there's that the money was coming to him. He was given what he thought should go elsewhere, which is like, whoa.
Boy, that's
it's got his name on it. So he gets all the money and he breaks them niggas off, whatever.
Ooh, that's a pack of Newports and Puma
that's
sweats.
That record company shit. That's that
Geo company Tracker
shit right there, B.
Yeah, that's Eric Sermon driving a motherfucking Samurai Suzuki and Paris Smith driving a Benz.
Hey, can I give a show break for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Because I want I don't want to go back to what we was talking about before this show, but I cannot help but tell you this right now, what I just saw with my eyes.
What did you see?
They're in Milwaukee playing this game, right?
Okay.
You know how fans gather outside the stadium because they couldn't get the ticket to get inside or whatever?
Right. There's probably a billion people out there.
There's a million motherfuckers standing outside that stadium. It's almost over. I'm going to tell you what the score is at the end. It's about to be a championship. It's about to be over.
Oh, so okay.
But they just showed outside, yo. There's a million motherfuckers out there.
Wow.
Woo. Boy, we'll look at those numbers next week.
So basically, the Suns got swept.
Because they won the first. It's real close.
First two, and then they got four in a row, basically lost, huh?
Greek Freak got 47 points.
Oh, he wants it.
He's playing pretty hard. He's dunked on a whole bunch of people tonight. Hard.
All right, well, that's what's up. So let's do this. Let's get ready for Kurt G's world famous albums of the week.
All right. This week we got Red Drum, the Messiah Complex. That's Red Rum, the Messiah Complex. Then we got Local Black and Tone Spliff, Masked Assailant. That's Local Black and Tone Spliff, Masked Assailant.
All right, that's what's good. So I'm still getting used to this new night and shit. So
am I. I want it to be Friday so I could be like, yeah, I'm good. But it's Tuesday.
Got to get up, go to work tomorrow, nigga.
You know what I'm happy about, though, also, is we got what we put in the chamber today as well. We got another album that you guys are going to need to listen to. Ultra Beast, put your teeth on it.
Yes, sir.
Your cows and four eyes out of the ATL. It is not your trap music out of ATL. I promise you that, yo.
Okay, so interviews coming, and you'll hear that when you hear it. So until next week, gentlemen, you know we're going to do it because it'll be next week and we'll be doing it.
Yes, sir.
Be safe, man. Be safe. And peace. Ladies, too. Be peace. Safe.
One.
Yeah, it's like that, and yeah, yup. It's like that and
the main squeeze of the airways is about to explode.
Coming in with the rhyme to set it off. For those soft, looking at the front door at main source, who be supreme like Diana to the Ross, till the head gets tossed and now they jumping like crisscross. MCs, they must be off of the rocker, thinking they can stop a sweet talker like Betty Crocker. Clock her, toast her buns like Danish. Got the lyrics running out the anus, cause I'm dealt with the feeling. The smoothie gon' be stacking the millions, giving proper supervision plus a vibe like this. Headstrong, no butter on the bills and I'm corn. Gotta put me on like Benita Applebaum to a corn. Flow for the flame and it's swift, and for the smacking of my lips form hits. So DJ Randy put me in the mills mix, knowing I was equipped to make dough like Bisquick. Never fishing for styles among doodle pals, only popping poop from my bow. Since crowds be giving oohs and ahs for the riff that's live, followed by a funk vibe. It's the funk vibe. It's the funk vibe. It's the funk vibe. It's the five, yeah. Five, you know the flavor gonna be correct. Erect for the wreck for the sound check. The vet, second listener. Be radiant as the sun and bumping like a bass drum. Not the chubster, but I be the one doing justice on a drum pattern. Spun like treads on a beamer. Behind my leader, hotter than a radiator. He the yussier. For she be the kid you be hunting. An underground sound punting down in your dungeon. I'm stunning, barely falling short, resorts to humming. Got more stuff with me than Teddy Ruxpin. Erupting like a volcano. That tap your brain cells like yayo and reshape them like Play-Doh. Then lay low, like I'm sporting the halo. For daddy's the angels, got a ratio for slaying. Ain't about no faking. I've got the leverage to last. Linguistics out the ass, so fast they need slim fast. But I keeps it up cause I can hold the weight, yo. Give me a break and I can tune it like Nick killed it up. Send it on a quest like try. For what? What the vibe? It's the funk vibe. It's the funk vibe. It's the funk vibe. It's the vibe. It's the funk vibe. It's the funk vibe. It's the funk vibe. It's the standing at the tip top with the pit bull grip lock on the mini flows. Bahamies on a tippy toes. Hoovering overflows like the way the song goes. Anyway, the wind blows, it's cool with me. You know I be the remedy, the cure to get hardcore for the sick melodies. The rhyme be in like Jabo dungarees, with more so than my clock wallabies. Me sees with bifocals, the vocal that sprouts. Large body count for putting me in your head out. And lyric killed bout stout. Stood the stands up from greatest to grandest. So plan to go bananas with the loop slip jam. I be singing the grammar like a star spangled banner. Word to Nana, 1-2 and a rip this shit tight manner. Cause man, I lay my thing down, it don't stop. I got it licked to the center of a tootsie pop. I be with rhyming, it's a rhyming, it's a Mac lock. What for slicking, it's a kicking in a rock. From the east side mass, the vibe covering the masses. Dang blasted, I'm funk to the key on the rip tip. Me get your buzzy like a big nip. So don't get it twisted, jigger just slips, it's a high five. And pay homage to the vibe. It's the funk vibe. It's the funk vibe. It's the funk vibe. It's the vibe. It's the funk vibe. It's the funk vibe. It's the funk vibe.
Yes. I like the rhymes.
All of us are born with the miraculous ability to determine the direction.
Blemish up, menace the sinister. It's him with the, them with the, Mike's next to Kim with the lyrical assassinate, like toxic waste. Rocks his bass, matches I burn up in your face. Travel through eons, mentally they're spitting viciously. Slapping up these red-eyed devils, speaking fictitiously. They slipping me, slipping me. Mike styles, they slipping me. A golden aura, it backs the voice, you can't ignore the monumental essence, which crowds was to adore the shimmering stone lace like Stalin's, thus is Tiffany. Sages when they meditate, prism filling my imagery. Subliminally, thoughts I said it synchronistically. The intricacy, complex levels, my entity. No stopping me, I'm rocking me. Hip-hop philosophy, drummer drumming. Preserve myself to keep me omnipotent. Nine styles, I keep it flowing.
Randomly flip on bystanders.
blowing up the spot.
Randomly flip, take control, control. Represent, represent, represent.
Poisonous, venom, yes, when I bless the mic and structure. Supreme ultimate conductor, eruption, type flow, lyrical lava. Torching up fools, enough combustion when I'm crushing. Like Big Pun, who's the one who makes the kids run? Stun like stun guns, son, I hit your fulcrum. Seas of MCs apart and some may call it biblical. Steady causing damage with words and even syllables. Audio is too malicious, call it vicious. No time for battling, competition of shattering. Astrophysical to melt mics, my ritual. Something that I couldn't stop, yo, it's just habitual. Flow like the breeze with ease of seven seas. Get to your knees, like hit by a disease. It's I fool, you know who? I'm coming faster. Pay attention, cause it's worldwide disaster.
Randomly flip on bystanders.
Blowing up the spot.
Randomly flip, take control, control.
Represent, represent, represent.
Randomly flip on bystanders.
Blowing up the spot.
Randomly flip, take control, control.
Represent, represent, represent.
Listen up, now class was in session. Stop messing, worshiping cars, clothes, and weapons. Your reign is over, like any move of a shover. Mystic, weak ass character misfit. You knew it wouldn't last forever with endeavors. Multiple bad moves, your head you finally severed. Decapitated by the new heads of state, whose lyrical ideologies uncover fallacies and dynasties constructed by the morbid. I knew it took time, but time it took to floor it. The next centennial will start with minimal. Microphone controllers trying to bless lines with imbecile. Lyrical content for devilish men. Body of the life force styles be heaven sent.
Randomly flip on bystanders.
Blowing up the spot.
Randomly flip.
Take control, control.
Represent, represent. Randomly flip on bystanders.
Blowing up the spot.
Randomly flip.
Take control, control.
Represent, represent, represent.
Remember way back, the week we they had too many seeds in the trade bag. I'm on the train heading uptown, freestyling with some wild kids from Bucktown. Profiling cause the hoop keeps was staring, checking where the niggas wearing. I'm wondering if that's ahead. I remember stick ball, Uncle Hoops on the wall. I'm taking leaks on the steps, thinking up the hall. Do
my childhood wild as a juvenile. A young nigga trying to stay away from Rikers Ave. Me and my homies breaking nights trying to keep it true. Out on the roof sipping 90 proof. Ain't nothing like the old school. Ain't nothing like the motherfucking old school, nigga. Ain't nothing like the old school. And I know you kind of like reminiscing when I just freak it to you like that. So why don't you flip that shit for these motherfuckers and, like, you know, really just let them see how you picture the old school. Cause it ain't the same for every motherfucker, you feel me? So, take us back, nigga.
Remember popping and locking at Curtis Blow, the name belts, and Scott LaRock, the Super Hole back in Latin Quarters, when Slick Rick was Slick and Lottie Dottie, gaming the hoochies at the neighborhood block parties. I remember break dancing the Melly Mel, Jekyll and Hyde, LL, Wendy rock the rails. Forget the TV, I'm out to hit the streets and do graffiti. Be careful, don't let the transit cops see me. Ain't nothing like the old school. It ain't nothing like the old school. It ain't nothing like the old school. Hey, on the real though, ain't nothing like the old school.
You're just what I need.
What more could I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way. What more could I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way. What more could I say? I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way. What more could I say? I wouldn't be here today.
Hey, I was at Latin Quarters, nigga, when Eric B and Rakim did I Ain't No Joke for the first time. Hey, remember motherfuckers used to get they gold chain snatched? Remember that shit? Remember seeing Brooklyn go crazy up in the motherfucking party? Remember motherfuckers used to go, it's Brooklyn in the house, and motherfuckers would lose their goddamn mind. That's the old school to me. That's what I'm saying. I remember going places and motherfuckers were scared to say they was from anywhere but Brooklyn. That shit was the bomb back in the motherfucking old school, nigga. Remember Skelly, nigga, knocking niggas out the box, popping boxes? Remember Stickball? Remember niggas used to run that shit like that? Remember the block? Remember screaming up at your mom from the window? The ice cream truck? Remember all of them? Remember the Italian Icy's, yo? Yo, remember the Italian Icy's?
Your boy T-Bear 183, this one right here for the biz.
Boys and Byzantines just want to. This is a little something from Bismarcky to make you get up and D-A-N-C-E. That's why I made this one just for you to do the heavy D shake and the biz dance too. Now I'ma get deep like Jacques Cousteau, and the stuff that I be saying is always thorough. That's why I made it, introduce a doodle death rap to make your hands clap, feet tap. I'm like the diabolical scientist, Mr. Five, to send extra crazy super like funky vibes, cause I always come up with stuff nobody else does. That's why they call me the Inhuman Orchestra, cause the heavy D say hi.
Hey yo, what you wanna know?
I wanna know what you come on for this whole show.
Now yes, on the smooth chip, the overweight lover, I'm on your radio and on your magazine cover. I drink Coca-Cola, remainder I'm solo. Always wear Nike, once in a while a sports polo. Before I go to bed, I drink my milk and eat cookies. Never liked school, so I used to play hooky. New Jackson rap, I choose a corner rookie. Your choice is the heavy D voice, now you can boogie. MCs think I'm new to this, they must be busy. Cause on the microphone, heaven keep the crowd busy. Nothing in the world could ever stop my groove. The overweight lovers in the house, and I can get smooth.
things. We write songs that make the MCs cry. Me a heavy D, we write songs, we write the songs.
I'm a Bismarck King, I'm known for beatboxing and rap. And now it's time to put Long Island on the map. And letting you know that it'll put you in a trance. Something funny made by me and it's called the business. The way I do it is so unique. By the way, I move my hand, hips, legs, and feet. But if you think that you can master it, you got a fat chance, cause it's very difficult to do. What is it called? The Bismarck, Bismarck. The Bismarck, Bismarck. The Bismarck, Bismarck. The Bismarck, Bismarck, Bismarck. The Bismarck dance, the second to none. I was playing at the moment how it should be done. Kick your legs through your pants, almost rip. Shake from side to side with your arms and hips. Why you doing it? If you mess up your hair, then you know party people that you're halfway there. They heard of Bismarcky all the way in France. And it came to Antarctica doing my dance. The Bismarck, Bismarck. The Bismarck, Bismarck. Yeah. The Bismarck, Bismarck. Do my dance. The Bismarck, Bismarck, Bismarck. Come on. The Bismarck, Bismarck. Everybody. The Bismarck, Bismarck. Everybody, the Bismarck, Bismarck. Well, why don't you do my dance? The Bismarck, Bismarck, Bismarck. Now everybody out there that wanna learn the biz dance, come up to the front. All the ladies to one side, and all the homeboys to one side, and I'ma show you how you should do it. You should throw one leg to one side, and then throw the other leg up to the other side. Then throw your leg up to find your head, and then this the way you do it. One, two, one, two, three, here. Yeah.
Now this may sound disgusting and like very gross, but it's sure to have it tripping. See, yo, listen close. It's not right at the sun or sweet like sugar, but it's rather on the bug tip and it's called picking boogers. Now when I am playing, might not be closer to you, but it's still something we all have to do. So go up your nose with a finger or two and pull out one or crush the crew. Yo, don't try to front like it's so gloomy and gray, cause we all pick our boogers sometime every day. Whether out in the open or on the sneak tip with a finger, tissue, or even a cuticle. Take it from the Bismarck, because I'm joking, and also remember this slogan. Hey mom, what's for dinner? Go up your nose and pick a winner. Pick a booger. Pick a booger. Pick a booger. Pick a booger. Yo, let me tell you what happened to me on the train. I was cooling one day with my partner Kane, headed up to the rooftop riding the D train. When this man sitting next to me was so profane, to stick his finger up his nose, damn it, you a train.
You should've moved.
I was just about, but all of a sudden, homeboy just pulled out a big green slimy. Nah, I ain't gonna say it, but I weighed a good pound if you tried to wait. We sat there for a while with it in his hand, so I tried to play cool and like an older man. So I laid my head back to catch a quick nap. All of a sudden, he plucked the dead in my lap. And I can't step there laughing like it was all a joke. But a brother like this monkey had almost choked. So I dug in my nose and pulled out about five and plucked every last one of them dead in his eye. Then the man jumped up and said, what's wrong with you? And wiped him off his face and said, I can't mess with you. Like if I did something that was so full of shame. But yo, you got to know the name of the game.
Yes, y'all into the light beat. You can either dance or just have a seat. And yes, y'all into the light beat. You can either dance or just have a seat. And yes, y'all into the light beat. You can either dance or just have a seat. And yes, y'all into the light beat. Yes, yawlin' to the light beat. Yes, yawlin', yes, yawlin', yes, yawlin' to the light beatin'. You can either dance or just have a seat and listen to the way in what I am slaying. A different kind of rapper language that I am saying. To all the party people that absorbing the info. When it comes to rockin' parties, I am a info. Maniac, brainiac for doing my dancing. My record make the music, we'll put you in a trance and hypnotize your body and like it in a cardigan. You won't be fighting the ill and you just be partying down with the monkeys out with yours truly. I'm the original B-I-Z, I mean, okay, I'm with the E and I came to have fun and not be number one. Just here to let you know who's like running the place. And everywhere that I perform and do a show, as long as you know that
nobody beats the biz.
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 At the B-I-C-M-A-R-K-I-E-N, I go for what I know, doing a show for human beings. I'm guaranteed to rock to make the ladies scream and shout. I'm bound to wreck your body and say turn the party out. I'm bound to wreck your body and say turn the party out. I'm bound to wreck your body and say turn the party out. I'm bound to wreck your body and say turn the party out. I'm bound to wreck your body and say turn the party out. I'm bound to wreck your body and say turn the party out. I'm bound to wreck your body and say turn the party out. I'm bound to wreck your body and say turn the party out. I'm bound to wreck your body and say turn the party out.
You feel it? Nothing can save ya, but this is the season of catching the vapors. And since I got time, what I'm gonna do is tell you how they spread it throughout my crew. Well, you all know T.D. Swan, who sang all my records, make the music nobody beats the biz. Well, check it. Back in the days before this began, he used to try to talk to this girl named Fran. The type of female with fly Gucci wear, with big truck jewelry and extensions in the hair. When Swan tried to kick it, she always fessed, talking about, nigga, please, you work for UPS. Since he wasn't no type of big drug dealer, my man T.D. Swan didn't appeal to her. But now he trucks gold and wear fly ballet boots, rough leather fashion and tough silk suits. Now she stopped fronting and wants to speak and be coming to all the shows every single weekend. To get his beeper number, she be begging please, dying for the day to get skis. She caught the vapors. She caught the vapors. She caught the vapors. She caught the vapors. I got another brother that's calm and plain. He goes by the name of the Big Daddy Kane. A mellow type of fellow that's laid back. Back in the days he was nothing like that. I remember when he used to fight every day. What grown-ups would tell him he would never obey. He wore his pants hanging down and his sneakers untied. And a Rasta type tango tilted to the side. Around his neighborhood people treated him bad and said he was the worst thing his mom's ever had. They said that he would grow up to be nothing but a hoodlum, or either in jail or someone would shoot him. But now he's grown up to their surprise. Big Daddy got a hit record selling worldwide. Now the same people that didn't like him as a child be saying, can I borrow a dollar? Ooh, you're a star. Now they caught the vapors.
Make the music.
They caught the vapors. They caught the vapors.
Make the music.
They caught the vapors.
Now I got a cousin by the name of Vaughn Lee. Better known to y'all as Kamasa V. He cut, scratch, transform with finesse and all that mess. But I remember when he first started to rock and tried to get this job and a record shot. He was in it to win it, but the boss fronted, said, sorry, Mr. Lee, but there's no help wanted. Now my cousin Vaughn still tried on and on and on till the light breaks at dawn to put this J.O.B. in effect. But they'd look right past him and be like, next. Now for the year of 88, Kool V is making dollars, so my cousin's like straight. He walks into the same record shop of before, and the boss be like, Vaughn, welcome to my store. Offering him a job, but nah, he don't want it. Damn, it feels good to see people up on it. Cause I remember when, at first they wasn't. Now guess what they caught from my cousin, the vapors.
Make the music.
They caught the vapors.
Make the music. Make the music. With your mind.